परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च नमोऽस्मिता धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भाव्ये कृष्ण प्रभु निजानन्द
Hare Krishna, welcome to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Radio program. We invite you to Sri Sri Radha Giridhari Mandir, 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, Kulu. At COVID-19 Elite Level 1, temple is open for Sunday feast, which starts at 12 p.m. with Aarti of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, followed on with a discourse on Bhagavad Gita, and ends with the Guru Puja of ISKCON's founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and followed on with Mahaprasadam at 2:30 p.m. At COVID-19 Elite Level 2, temple is open for darshan only, and it is completely closed at Elite Levels 3 and 4. 2021 is Srila Prabhupada's 125th birth anniversary. Therefore, the subsequent radio programs would be the readings from his biography called Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrita by Radha Padma Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Reading from Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrita Volume 1, A Biography of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Continuing Chapter 4, How Shall I Serve You? It was in a private meeting that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once told Abhay of the risks he took by preaching so boldly. Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj's contribution is that he defeated the caste Goswamis, he defeated this Brahmanism. He did it the same way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiba viprak, kiba nyasi, shudra kene naya, ei krishna tattva veta, sei guru haya. There is no consideration whether one is a sannyasi, a brahman, a shudra or a grihastha. Or anyone who knows the science of Krishna, he is all right. He is a Goswami and he is a Brahmana. But no one else taught that since Lord Chaitanya. This was my Guru Maharaj's contribution, and for this reason he had to face so many vehement protests from these Brahman caste Goswamis. Once they conspired to kill him. My Guru Maharaj told me personally, by his grace, when we used to meet alone, he used to talk about so many things. He was so kind that he used to talk with me. And he personally told me that these people, they wanted to kill me. They collected 25,000 rupees and went to bribe the police officer in charge of the area, saying, you take these 25,000 rupees and we shall do something against Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And you don't take any steps. He could understand that they wanted to kill him, so the police officer frankly came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Of course, we accept bribes and we indulge in such things, but not for a sadhu, not for a saintly person. I cannot dare. So the police officer refused and said to my Guru Maharaj, you take care, this is the position. So vehemently they protested. But he liked boldness in his disciples. Abhay heard of an occasion when one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples had been very outspoken at a public meeting and had denounced a highly regarded Mayavadi monk as a foolish priest. The remark had caused a disruption at the meeting, and some of his disciples reported the incident to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Thinking he would be displeased that his disciple had caused a disturbance. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was pleased and remarked, he has done well. His displeasure occurred rather when he heard of someone's compromise. Srila Prabhupada, quote, when my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with even his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned and no compromise. So-called saints, avatars, yogis, everyone who was false was an enemy of my Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some godbrothers complained that this preaching was a chopping technique and it would not be successful. But those who criticized him fell down. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was known as a Simha, Lion Guru. On occasion, when he saw someone he knew to be a proponent of impersonalism, he would call that person over and challenge, "Why are you cheating the people with Mayavadi philosophy?" He would often tell his disciples not to compromise. "Why should you go flatter?" he would say. "You should speak the plain truth without any flattery. Money will come anyway." Whenever Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote or spoke the Vaishnava philosophy, he was uncompromising. The conclusion was according to the Shastra and the logic strong. But sometimes Abhay would hear his spiritual master express the eternal teachings in a unique way that Abhay knew he would never forget. "Don't try to see God," Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say, "but act in such a way that God sees you." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta condemned temple proprietors who made a business of showing the deity for a living. "To be a sweeper in the street was more honorable," he said. He coined a Bengali phrase, "Shalagram Dwara Badam Bhanga." The priests are taking the Shalagram deity as a stone for cracking nuts. In other words, if a person shows the Shalagram form of the Lord or any form of the deity simply with a view to make money, then he is seeing the deity not as the Lord but as a stone, a means for earning his livelihood. Abhay had the opportunity to see his spiritual master deal with the nationalist Subhash Chandra Bose, who had been Abhay's schoolmate at Scottish Churches College. Bose had come in a somewhat critical mood, concerned about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's recruiting young men into religious life. Srila Prabhupada, quote, "Subhash Chandra Bose came to my Guru Maharaj and said, 'So many people you have captured, they are doing nothing for nationalism.' My Guru Maharaj replied, 'Well, for your national propaganda, you require very strong men. But these people are very weak. You can see they are very skinny. So don't put your glance upon them. Let them eat something and chant Hare Krishna.' In this way, he avoided him." End quote. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to say that when the day came when high court judges were devotees of Krishna with Vaishnav Tilak on their foreheads, then he would know that the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness was becoming successful. He said that Jesus Christ was a Shaktavesh avatar, an empowered incarnation of God. "How can it be otherwise?" he said. "He sacrificed everything for God." In his scholarly language, he declared, "The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat." But sometimes in speech, he phrased it in a more down-to-earth way. The mundane scholars who are trying to understand the Supreme Lord by the senses and mental speculation is like a person trying to taste the honey in a bottle by licking the outside of the bottle. "Philosophy without religion," he said, "is dry speculation. And religion without philosophy is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that the whole world was simply a society of cheaters and cheated. He gave the example that loose women often visit certain holy places in India with the idea of seducing the sadhus, thinking that to have a child by a sadhu is prestigious. And immoral men dress themselves as sadhu, hoping to be seduced by the cheating women. His conclusion, "A person should aspire to live the material world, to leave the material world and go back to Godhead, because this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman." Abhay saw that when disciples asked his spiritual master about something in the future, he never replied, quote, "Yes, it is going to happen," or quote, "Yes, we are going to do it." Rather, he would say, quote, "Yes, if Krishna desires, it may be," quote end. Although in his younger years he had been an astrologer and able to predict the future, he had given it up. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a lifetime brahmachari and was very strict about avoiding association with women. Once Abhay was sitting with his spiritual master when another disciple was present, along with his young wife. The wife asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta if she might speak with him privately, but he replied, "No, whatever it is you can ask here, I cannot see you in private," end quote. Abhay was impressed by this, since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in his 60s and the girl could have been his granddaughter. Regardless, he would not speak with any woman alone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta liked to make his disciples into sannyasis. But one day, one of his sannyasa disciples was forcibly dragged away by his wife. In tears, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta lamented that he was unable to save that soul. Yet he did not speak disparagingly of Krishna conscious family life. "I would have sex hundreds of times if I thought that I could raise Krishna conscious children." He would send his brahmacharis out to sell the Gaudiya Math magazine and books. And even if a brahmachari were able to sell only one or two, it would please him very much, and he would exclaim, quote, "You are so nice," end quote. In considering whether essays were worthy for publication, he would count how many times the word Krishna or Chaitanya had been used. If these holy names had been quoted sufficiently, he would say, "That's all right, this can be used." He would say in Bengali, "Pranachayar set hetu prachar." A person must have life to be a preacher. A dead man cannot preach. When some of his preachers who had gone to chant and speak reported that no one had attended their meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied, quote, "That doesn't matter. The four walls will hear you. That is sufficient. Don't be disappointed. Go on chanting," end quote. And in commenting on the fact that some of his disciples had fallen away, quote, "Some of the soldiers will die," end quote, he said. But he did not want his disciples to lead an easygoing life. He once criticized a disciple as being ease-loving. Nor should they attempt to practice austerities in seclusion. He would sing a song of his own composition. "Dushtamana tumi kishera Vaishnava." "My dear mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? You are chanting Hare Krishna in a solitary place, imitating the great saints Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, but your meditation is actually to think of women and money. Your mind is filled with such dirty things, so your bhajan is simply cheating." He taught that if a devotee gave up his preaching in the city in favor of solitary meditation, that was a method of cheating by imitating the great saints in hopes of getting cheap adoration from others. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta never liked to open a branch of the Gaudiya Math in a place that was not very much populated. Abhay went on listening to his spiritual master at every opportunity, but rarely did Abhay put a philosophical inquiry before him. He preferred simply to listen. Srila Prabhupada, quote, "I never ask my spiritual master a question except one, how shall I serve you?" Abhay Charan Day became prominent in the pharmaceutical business. He worked well for Bose's laboratory and other companies wanted him as their agent. He had hopes of becoming rich. Srila Prabhupada, quote, "My Guru Maharaj ordered me, 'You do this,' but I thought, 'Let me first of all become a rich man, then I shall do.' In the beginning, I was thinking, 'Now my godbrothers have taken sannyas. They are begging from door to door. Why shall I beg? Let me earn money and start Krishna consciousness.'" End quote. The biggest pharmaceutical company in India, Bengal Chemical, made him an offer. But when they did not fulfill all his conditions, he turned them down, though later he regretted it. Still, there were good signs. The astrologer had predicted he could become one of India's richest men. And Dr. Kartik Bose had told his father-in-law, "He's a very intelligent man." But there were also other signs. As many accounts as he had secured by his wide travels, there were also that many bills to collect. Many of the accounts began to fall behind in the payments, and the accumulated debts began to grow until he owed Bose's laboratory a total of 10,000 rupees. And Abhay had enemies. The manager, who had taken over Abhay's old position as office manager with Bose's laboratory in Calcutta, tried to turn Dr. Bose against Abhay, insinuating that he was too independent. They had heard of his negotiating with Bengal Chemical, and the new manager attributed the accumulating debt to Abhay's lack of loyalty to the Home Office. Kartik Bose remained favorably inclined towards Abhay, but when the debt became a financial strain, he went to Allahabad to investigate. At Prayag Pharmacy, he spoke with Dr. Ghosh, who told him, quote, "He's a very honest man. It is no fault of his. In good faith, he gave all these chemists drugs and credit, but he can't realize the money," end quote. "All right," Dr. Ghosh said, "but I can't go on giving him money." Abhay went over the accounts with Dr. Kartik Bose, and they both agreed that the best way to settle the matter was for Dr. Bose to take over the Prayag Pharmacy and all of Abhay's accounts. Thus, Abhay was absolved of debt but unemployed. Atulananda Brahmachari approached him. "Why don't you come to the mutt? Now you're free." Abhay began to visit more frequently the nearby Rupa Goswami mutt, where the Gauriya mutt men, in their renounced Brahmachari spirit, suggested that he depend completely on Krishna, give up the world, move in with them, and become a full-time preacher. But for Abhay, there was no question of abandoning business. If he did, what would happen to his wife and children? He and Radharani now had a third child, a son, so the financial responsibility was increasing. The Brahmacharis were well-intentioned in asking him to renounce the world, and it was fine for them to do so, but Abhay couldn't take it very seriously. Without work, he was in a critical condition, but he remained confident and eager to take on new employment. There were other companies that would like to have him as their agent, and some of his old customers wanted him to service them, even if they weren't Bose's men. Abhay thought about starting his own pharmaceutical laboratory. Finally, he decided he would start his own factory, but in a much bigger city than Allahabad. He settled on Bombay. He decided that his family should remain in Allahabad, and he and his brother would travel to Bombay, take an apartment, and survey the prospects for starting a factory there. Although Radharani was used to her husband's traveling, it had never been as extended as this promised to be. Abhay talked with her, explaining that his recent business loss had been the arrangement of Krishna. Now, again to provide for his family, he would have to start a large business, and that could best be done in a major city like Bombay. But family life in Allahabad would be temporarily disrupted. He set up a very small pharmaceutical manufacturing operation there in Allahabad, put his nephew Tulasi in charge, and left for Bombay with his brother. In Bombay, Abhay rented an apartment on Grant Road, and applying the knowledge he had gained as manager of Bose's laboratory, he started his own pharmaceutical factory. Business was going well when a large company, Smith Institute, wanted him as the sales agent. Abhay took the job, thinking that he could earn money as Smith's representative, while at the same time developing his own business. He was confident of his ability to earn money in the pharmaceutical line. While traveling around Bombay on business, Abhay met some members of the Gauriya Mutt, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Swami, senior sannyasi disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Abhay recognized them as respected god brothers, well versed in the scriptures and Vaishnava philosophy. It seemed he was destined to find his god brothers wherever he went. Both he and the sannyasis regarded their apparently odd meeting in the city as auspicious. Like the members of the Gauriya Mutt he had met in Allahabad, these preachers had no permanent center. but they were trying to start one. On behalf of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were going door to door soliciting supporters for a Bombay branch of the Gauriya Mutt. Abhay wanted to help. As a fellow godbrother in the service of his spiritual master, he offered them his services. Although as sannyasi they were in a superior position, in their somewhat helpless condition, they looked up to Abhay for help. They had been staying in a small place on Proctor Road and had found a little opportunity to make important contacts. Now they formed a team, Abhay introducing the sannyasis to business acquaintances and the sannyasis taking donations for the new center. Abhay Charanaravinda was good at collecting funds, and he willingly gave his time. Again, his godbrothers began pulling at him to participate fully in the Gauriya Mutt preaching. Srila Prabhupada, quote, "We had a party for collecting alms. Sridhar Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj and myself. I took them to some of my chemist and doctor friends, and in 2 days we collected 500 rupees. Sridhar Maharaj would speak, I would introduce, and Goswami Maharaj would canvass. So Goswami Maharaj was very much appreciated. And he began to speak highly about me. Quote, "For a Babu, he is so expert. He has got so many friends and he has collected so much. Why should he not be in charge of our mutt? Why shouldn't he live with us? Why is he living separately?" End quote. Abhay visited the mutt quarters on Proctor Road, where he joined the devotees in Kirtan and heard them speak from the Bhagavatam. At the sannyasi's request, Abhay took on the responsibility of finding a more suitable place for the Bombay center. Wherever he went in the city, he looked for likely locations. Just as he had responsibilities of his wife and family in Allahabad, by dint of his initiation, he was responsibly bound to assist his godbrothers. He had to take part in the preaching, not simply struggle so that he might exist in the world of business competition. But he didn't think he could ever live like a sannyasi. No possessions, no business, sleeping on a bare floor, taking only simple meals. February 25, 1935. It was the 62nd birthday of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. At Jagannath Puri, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was residing, the devotees observed the day with ceremony. At the small Bombay center, a few disciples planned an evening observance and invited local people. For the occasion, Abhay wrote a poem. "Adore, adore ye all, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. Oh, my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race. The only hope is divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray, save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wander thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy, the illusion store. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope is divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrote. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and a fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, you had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold. That's your right, you have the mace. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all, but a new dress. Miracle done, your divine grace." Abhay Charandas. Abhay also composed a speech which he read before the assembled guests and members of the Gauriya Mutt. Although his first language was Bengali, his English was clear and natural. Gentlemen, the offerings of such a homage as has been arranged this evening to the Acharya Dev is not a sectarian concern, because when we speak of the fundamental principle of Gurudev or Acharya Dev, we speak of something that is of universal application. There does not arise any question of discriminating my Guru from that of yours or anyone else's. There is only one Guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me and all others. The Guru or Acharya Dev, as we learn from the bona fide scriptures, delivers the message of the absolute world. I mean the transcendental abode of the absolute personality, where everything non-differentially serves the absolute truth. Like the poem, the speech was personal, but even more than the poem, it was authoritative, philosophical preaching. The God brothers were impressed to hear Abhay presenting the Vaishnava philosophy so expertly. How was it possible? Of course, it should not have come as a surprise. He had heard the Vaishnava philosophy from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, just like his God brothers. Why should he not be able to enunciate the teachings of his spiritual master, having heard from him and having read Gita and Bhagavatam and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Was he not a devotee in the parampara? But until now, no one knew he could preach in English so expertly.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,